We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get you set for week 10 of your fantasy football season. You may have already buried yourself. If that's the case, listen to how it's done by the experts. Not me. I ain't the expert. It's this man, Brad Evans of Yahoo. Brad, good to talk to you. How you been?
Hola, amigo. I am splendid. How are you?
Oh, well, I didn't draft Le'Veon Bell in the first round, so I'm great. I'll tell you that.
Or Gronk, hopefully, in the second.
No, I didn't touch him either. In fact, the guy on the other side of the glass right now, Tom Lugauer, made me an offer involving Gronk. He basically said, can I say it out loud, Lugie? We're allowed to talk about our trade discussions. All right. I'm a Kelce guy, all right? In fact, if Kelce leads me to a fantasy championship, I haven't told my wife yet, but we will look, or I will look into naming our second child Kelce if he can lead me to a title. But he floated the idea of, hey, Gronk for Kelce, and I'll throw in, who are you throwing in again? Oh, Tyreek Hill, and I got to put somebody back, and I got to give him somebody good back. Is Kelce better than Gronk enough at this point where you would say, you know what, as great as that is, I don't want to do it. I don't want to trade Travis Kelce, the best tight end on the planet.
No, you're not trading Travis Kelce at all. I mean, he is light years ahead of Gronk right now. I mean, Gronk's on a week-to-week basis. We don't know when we're going to see him again. And the last time we did see him against the Buffalo Bills, he looked like a UFC fighter who was laid out on the mat, bruised and battered, just trying to pull his carcass off the ground and lumber back to the huddle. I mean, he's nowhere close to 100%. And I don't think he's going to be the rest of the season. So knowing the questionable tags that are just going to be relentless here down the stretch, knowing that even if he is on the field, he may be operating at 60, 70% physical capacity, I want nothing to do with the guy, quite honestly. And I find it baffling that people continue to invest high-round draft picks in a guy that has this downside. And ultimately, it may be a moot point anyway because he could retire at the end of the year.
Yeah, you never know. And let's spend, I'd say, 40 seconds waxing poetic about the greatness of Travis Kelce, because last week, he is wrestling the football away from people. He is just a behemoth out there. And look, he's in a great offense. He's playing with a quarterback that may win the MVP of the league. But let's spend some time waxing poetic about the greatness that is Travis Kelce, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, he is a phenomenal, not only football player, but end zone dancer as well. I don't know if you noticed that. I mean, he's got some smooth moves out there, man. He's been cutting some rug on the regular here of late, finding the end zone routinely. And a player that, I mean, he's just a matchup nightmare. He gets across the middle of the field with his size, athleticism, precise route running. And when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who can really laser a ball into some tight spaces, it's just nearly impossible to stop. So, yeah, Kelce is the king of the tight end class this year. I mean, Zach Ertz definitely in that conversation as well. But rest of the season, I mean, he's just going to be an absolute behemoth and a high-flying offense. I think the bigger question tied to Kelce in Kansas City, do the Chiefs cover a historic spread, the fifth highest in NFL history, laying 17 against Arizona?
And if it stays at 17, it's going to be the biggest spread in Chief history as far as them being favored. So it is pretty historic when you think about it. I looked that up. I was so fascinated to see, you know, the other big numbers they've had, at least since about 1978, because a lot of it doesn't go back further than that. And I think they had one game in the early 2000s in which they were favored by 16. So if it could stay at 17, it would be record-breaking. Now, I got a Patriot question, because Cordell Patterson has been used in the running game over the last couple of weeks, even had a rushing touchdown last week. Give me your view right now on playing Patterson. How do you value him at this point?
Well, with Sony Michel back, expected to be back this week. I mean, he falls back into the shadows as far as I'm concerned. You know, a lot of people were clamoring for Patterson to get RB eligibility. We granted that in Yahoo Leagues, our provider stats. They make those decisions and went ahead and pushed forward with that kind of eligibility tag. So he is RBWR currently in the Purple Palace universe. So, you know, I think Patterson with Sony Michel, I mean, he's a guy that's only going to get a handful of touches. He, of course, got James White there, who was the nickel dimer in the short field. And, you know, I think it was a nice ride these last couple of weeks with Cordero. But right now he's going to get back to that multidimensional, multifaceted kind of gimmick role within this Belichick offense. So, in my opinion, he's just more or less bench fodder as long as Sony Michel's knee stays right.
On the surface, you see the Redskins are playing Tampa Bay, and you say, well, this is a good matchup for Adrian Peterson. But what would scare me are all these injuries on the offensive line. I mean, four-fifths of the line may not play on Sunday. Would you sit Adrian Peterson? Would you be scared of these line issues?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I know Tampa Bay ranks inside the top 10 of most fantasy points allowed to the running back position, but you look at some of the other advanced analytics that are out there, particularly like Football Outsiders, their adjusted line yards allowed, and the Buccaneers are actually fourth best in that category in terms of fewest adjusted line yards allowed to the opposition. So Gerald McCoy and company, they're man-eaters in the trenches. They make it difficult on running backs to get chunk gains between the tackles, and that's typically where Adrian Peterson operates. No Chris Thompson this week. I think Cabrini Bibbs is a sneaky plug-and-play option. Found the end zone last week. Yeah, it was under 40 combined yards, but in these lean weeks, when you have four teams on bye, you know, on a one-week siesta this week, it's Broncos, Texans, Vikings, and also the Ravens. Bibbs is a guy that could be a plug-and-play option. Option for you to get you through these rough waters. So, I'm a little bit concerned about Peterson. I have moved him down outside my RB15 class this week. Some guys I have ahead of him that you may have on your fantasy bench. Nick Chubb, I think, is a top 10 option this week, bar none. Tevin Coleman, they're on the precipice of the top 10 going against the Cleveland Browns, who have the third most fantasy points at running back position. And Aaron Jones, who gets Miami, and the Dolphins allowed the sixth most fantasy points, 4.6 yards per carry to running backs. And Jones, one of two running backs, the other you might have heard of him, Travis Kelce's teammate Kareem Hunt, who ranked top five in missed tackle percentage and yards after contact per attempt. And finally, Mike McCarthy pulled head from posterior and gave him more than 15 touches last week. Though he coughed up the football in a critical moment.
Of course.
The Packers, but I think they're going to continue to feed the beast down the stretch to add balance to this Packers offense.
Now, the beast known as Leonard Fournette is back. He's missed a bunch of time. It's been 5 weeks since he's played. And think about where the Jaguars are now. Think about where the franchise is from when he went down with his injury to where they are now. How do you feel about Fournette coming back from his injury?
Shittish. I'm very reluctant to trot him out there. You know, we said on the Fantasy Football Hour television show that I have that syndicates nationally. You can watch it on YES Network and also MSG Plus in New York City. So check your local listings for, you know, channel and time on that. But, you know, we talked about Leonard Fournette. We set the over-under at 13.5 touches on the show this week, and I took the under. I think they're going to ease him in. I think it's going to be 11, 12, maybe 13 touches combined. You got Carlos Hyde there for a reason to be a crutch to lean on and not necessarily give Fournette, you know, 20 touches per game. And T.J. Yeldon is going to be involved, too, particularly on passing downs. And look, we got to get credit where credit is due. The Indianapolis Colts, I called them the My Little Ponies preseason because I thought this was going to be a disastrous defense. And they've been the complete opposite of that. They have been very respectable, particularly defending the run. They give it up 4.22 yards per carry, but just the 18th most fantasy points for running back position, knowing the shortcomings of Blake Bortles, knowing the fact that Fournette's likely to see some stack fronts, and knowing, too, he could be involved in some sort of backfield triumvirate. I'm not exuberant about trotting him out there. I think he's more or less a flex option than a surefire RB2 here in Week 10.
Talking to Brad Evans of Yahoo, how about this Tre'Quan Smith, who's had, you know, he doesn't get targeted a lot, which you can understand why, being in that same offense. He had a touchdown in the Ram game. He had that monster game a few weeks ago against the Redskins where he got in the end zone twice. Your thoughts on Tre'Quan Smith, the rookie wide receiver?
Well, you feel a little bit better if you own Tre'Quan after poor Dez shredded his Achilles yesterday in practice. It looked like Tre'Quan was going to be kind of the bearer of Dez's presence there in terms of overall target share. I mean, he's only seen a target share of 8.8 on the season, but he has come on strong here of late. He's played on at least 64% of the snaps in four consecutive games. Like you mentioned, of course, a historic reception and the most open reception of the season for a long touchdown that pushed Drew Brees onto the throne of the yardage class all time among quarterbacks, you know, week five against Washington. You know, he had 111 in that game with that touchdown and another one on top of that last week on the end zone, but only three targets. You know, the downfall for Tre'Quan is this is a socialist offense outside of Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is a target hog, and then it's dump offs to Alvin Kamara or design screens to him. Then Watson's heavily involved. And then there's Traquan. I mean, Drew Brees is going to spread the love within this team. This week, the matchup, difficult one-on-one, is going to see a lot of Dre Kirkpatrick, the best cover corner in the Cincinnati Bengals secondary. I think there's a shot here for maybe 40, 50 yards and another touchdown for Traquan because he sees so many favorable coverages as a result of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara being on the field. But he is a dice roll at wide receiver three or flex in a 12-teamer deep league.
Speaking of that offense, when Mark Ingram comes back from suspension / injury, he came back with a real strong fantasy performance against the Redskins, got in the end zone twice. It was like, ah, great, he's back. Since then, it's been a disappointment, especially this past week against the Rams. With the talent of Kamara, who is just blossoming into an even bigger star than he was last year, is Ingram going to get lost now in this offense?
No, I don't think so completely. I mean, he's more or less matchup dependent from a fantasy perspective. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, you know, whizzed in your nachos here as a fantasy owner the last several weeks. I mean, he's under 75 yards in three of his last four, not finding the end zone with regularity. 2.4 yards after contact per attempt, rather appalling. He's RB33 in terms of fantasy points per game. But you look at some of the matchups, including this week against Cincinnati, and there are some situations for him to get right. I mean, the Bengals rank inside the top six and most fantasy points allowed to the running back position. It's been extremely problematic for them to bottle up, closing plowshares between the tackles. You get Philly after that, can't trust them there. You get Atlanta after that, Atlanta ranks top 10 of most fantasy points allowed. At Dallas, difficult matchup. First round of the fantasy playoffs, aforementioned Tampa Bay Buccaneers, kind of a 50-50 proposition. Carolina, more bend don't break, and then Pittsburgh in fantasy title games, and that's a home matchup in week 16. You just got to look at the matchup and say to yourself, is this a game in which Mark Ingram can have success on some of those tough off-the-gut runs? Because that's how he's being deployed. That's how he's being utilized. If the answer is yes, you plug him in. Mm. If the answer is no, based on the matchup, you ride somebody else. But this week, I think it's 75-plus and a score.
By the way, Tyler Boyd, you have to think, is going to be I mean, he's had a great year anyway, but with AJ Green out for a couple of weeks, Tyler Boyd's, you got to think, going to be fed quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's 26.2% of the target share. That's 9.4 targets per game available in AJ Green's absence. I mean, Boyd has been a slot machine. Lucky Seven's coming up across the board on a regular basis for him. He's a wide receiver 15 in fantasy points per game in full point PPR leagues. He's seen 22.8% of the target share. So if that bubbles up to, say, 25% or more, being so deadly on those shallow crosses and slants, the sky's the limit. I mean, he could be a back end wide receiver one and half point or greater PPR leagues in 12-team formats moving forward. I'm really curious to see who picks up the slack elsewhere. Is it going to be Alex Erickson, who is a slot guy, you know, played at Wisconsin, seen a lot of snaps outside. He's kind of a versatile asset, but underwhelms in terms of athleticism. Cody Core, a lot of people are talking up. Josh Malone. Hell, maybe Post Malone, where the Cincinnati Bengals uniform goes out there, puts up 50 yards and a touchdown this week. But somebody outside of Tyler Boyd in C.J. Uzoma are going to have some success in this pass game. Maybe it's an increased workload for Joe Mixon or Gio Bernard, who's practiced on a limited basis, because we know the Saints are extremely vulnerable against the pass. The Saints have allowed the most fantasy points to the wide receiver position this season.
Yeah. We're talking to Brad Evans. Give me a defense to pick up this week.
Well, there are a number of them. I like the Buffalo Bills quite a bit going against Josh McCown there in Jersey. I think that's an interesting plug and play. Indianapolis against Jacksonville. You know that Blake Bortles is a magnet for turnovers. The Chargers, absurdly, are still available. I'm right around 50% of Yahoo leagues. And they get those rancid Raiders who are not just circling the drain. I think they've already been flushed.
Oh, yeah.
I love that fact because I took the Raiders on the under on wins in July when I was in Sin City. The line was 8.
Oh.
It was a +115. +115. So I hammered a living daylights out of it, and I'm already counting my dollar bill, so I'm feeling good about that one.
You definitely should. Brad, always appreciate it. Thanks for popping on, my friend.
Thanks, my man. Good luck this week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.